PTO, and 401k options. Action has created a positive team environment for over 50 years. Apply online at actionlincoln.com.
The Omaha Supernovas are back in action this Thursday, March 28th versus the Grand Rapids Rise at CHI Health Center in Omaha. The Mullen Motors pregame show with Derek Pearson and Renee Saunders starts at 6 p.m. with first serve at 7. Make sure to tune in to the Next Ag Appraisal and Realty postgame show right after the match ends. Catch all the action on your flagship station, 93.7 The Ticket, and statewide on the Supernovas radio network. Spring is here. It's time to get back outside and into proper shoes this year. Brown Shoe Fit is the place to buy this spring with their sale on athletic shoes. Get $15 off any regular price athletic shoes with respected brands like Hoka, Brooks, New Balance, and On Running. And don't forget, Brown's carries a large arrangement of sizes and widths to fit your feet properly. Start your spring off right at Brown Shoe Fit, just south of 66 and Q in Lincoln. Ever wish you had another light switch on the other side of the room on a dark night? How much better would you sleep at night if you had a ceiling fan in your room? The High Electric Service Department is here to make your electrical what-ifs a reality. Whether you're looking to replace some outdated light fixtures or brighten up your counters with under-cabinet lighting, High Electric can handle all types of residential electrical installations and services. Give Erica a call at 402-466-6606 or visit high-electric.com to get started.
Your home is your empire. Protect it with Empire Fence. Get a free instant quote with the online estimating tool at empire-fence.com. See an upfront estimate with no hidden fees. An Empire Fence can provide privacy and improve the appearance of your home. Keep kids and pets in or out of your yard. Increase security and add value to your property. Visit empire-fence.com now to view the stylish and maintenance-free possibilities for your home and get a free instant online quote. Let Empire Fence protect your empire.
Old School with DP and Jay.
Do you think it's too early to talk about Patrick Mahomes as the greatest of all time? You know, to be honest with you, I think he might be on ahead of the pace. It was definitely on pace, maybe ahead of the pace. I think right now everything that he does is going to get overblown. And I think people so quickly forgot the 20-year run of the Patriots. Not 5-6 years. 20-year run of Tom Brady and the Patriots.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. This isn't any regular heat. This is nuclear heat. Live from the 93.7 The Ticket studios in the heart of Lincoln, America. Bringing you the latest from the square circle on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Jake Bakovic.
Oh, nice to be with you on another nice Tuesday evening here in Lincoln, Nebraska. Though it was a little bit chilly today for my liking. But in any case, still a good time to jump in and talk some wrestling here on 93.7 The Ticket. Probably our earliest time slot that we've had in a while, Hockey. From 8 to 9 here, we will run with you in wrestling. If you don't like wrestling, maybe a child in you once did and you'll still enjoy the show. But seriously, if you don't like wrestling, you're not going to enjoy the show because that's what we're talking about. So it is a fun time. I just like to warn some people in front. Wrestling is, is understood. The people that don't like it generally really don't like it for some reason. Yeah, so I just let people know. I think that's a fair thing to do. I'm Jake Bachman, by the way. This is Augie Pena. I'm your host. He is your Nuclear Heat contributor. Augie, the wrestling has been good, though, so it is fun. To talk about it, of course, leading up into WrestleMania. And typically we break down SmackDown and Raw in several different segments. But today we're just going to lead off with some, we don't want to bury the lead, basically, a term in journalism. You don't want to bury the lead, and the lead is what happened last night on Monday Night Raw. And so we'll talk about that in front of the show instead of in the back. So in any case, as we get to it, the WWE looked very cinematic last night. It was probably the best outcome possible for a Jey Uso Shinsuke Nakamura
fight. Yeah, it was.
For some reason, it broke out into the main event of WrestleMania to close out the show. And this was a show that was in Chicago. CM Punk's hometown already had that heat bring to it. But the fact that The Rock showed up, and they didn't promote that The Rock was showing up. It kind of gave it the true pop that I kind of felt was very nice. It's just kind of, you know, in the days and age, everything gets spoiled. Mm-hmm. And so even The Rock's return, CM Punk's return, a lot of these things, CM Punk's return was pretty good, surprising, you know, after Randy Orton's return there. So some things can be held tight and some things are hard to do so. And so this is not The Rock's first return, but it just felt nice to kind of get that moment throughout this run up to WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, everybody was surprised he was there. That was a huge pop.
Yeah.
That was a huge pop for The Rock. And it's amazing just what kind of a presence he has, because he did not say a word in that first segment. You know, he goes up, confronts Cody, all that stuff, whispers something in his ear. And, you know, it was magic. It kept you wanting to see more. And they paid that off later on in the match, you know, at the end of the show when they went off. You know, it was that last segment, The Raw or Rock and Cody, but man, it was great. You know, it was really good. I really liked it. You know, they didn't promote that because, you know, it was going to be big with CM Punk anyways in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then The Rock showing up. Yeah. The Rock showing up was great. And I just thought, man, this Raw was one of the better Raws I've seen. Even there was one match I was kind of just like, you know, whatever. Candice LeRae again, but the rest of it I thought was great. And, you know, they were throwing Easter eggs in, you know, kind of had people talking in the background behind other segments. And it was just great. They had blood. They had, you know, the Attitude Era, you know, they had all that stuff just right back. And it really took me back to like the early the 90s, the 2000s when we were just little kids. And man, that was great. You know, that I think that's why we, you know, still hold on to that wrestling, is hoping, you know, even through this PG era that, you know, they'll go back to that, you know, that they'll bring that. And man, they brought it last night at Raw.
Yeah, it's a weird segment of WWE fans that we are that don't necessarily always like the wrestling we're watching and complain about it. And at times, I can say in the last 10 years, it hasn't always been great. Sometimes the storylines aren't good. The you know, kind of have 50-50 booking. Sometimes just doesn't. Vince McMahon has said so in the past that he doesn't want to build stars up to be the Hulk Hogan's or Steve Austin's of old, because if they jump ship, you know, then you got a problem there. So even the own idea of building stars was kind of lost on WWE for a while. But you're right. Just even the simplest thing you could do in wrestling is have some of your roster talking to the other roster in the back scenes. And it just gets you thinking for some different things that are going to happen. In any case, we better get to the scene that you were talking about, though, too, as well, which was the kind of the image that is left for us now leading into this next week of wrestling, was an absolute beatdown in Chicago from The Rock to Cody Rhodes. Of course, this was, again, the Jey Uso Shinsuke Nakamura match. Just blew off, and all the main members of all four, basically, WrestleMania main events all got involved. Everybody started hitting everybody. McIntyre comes in and hits Rollins, who was, you know, so McIntyre, who was talking to Paul Heyman earlier in the show in one of those Easter egg segments, like you said, made that surprise return. But again, the image that we're left with is a bloody Cody Rhodes, a bloody belt outside in the rain in Chicago with The Rock standing over him. This must be Final Boss Rock.
Yeah.
That's the new term they're giving him. That is who the Final Boss is. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, it was just great because, you know, he's just throwing him around everywhere. You know, he kept saying the whole Mama Rose, you know, he's like, I told you I was going to make you bleed. And, you know, he dropped a couple, you know, curse words in there. It's just, it was different. You know, it just, and just the way, like you said, it was more like a movie, you know, not like we were watching, you know, two wrestlers interact. It's like straight out of a Hollywood movie, and it was well done. And there was a time where I thought The Rock was going to throw Cody off of that bridge, you know, because he had him up against it.
That's what they had you wondering.
And sometimes, you know, they have something under there and they'll do that. And I was
thinking, Mysterio got tossed off a building a couple of years ago.
Yeah, during COVID when they had the money in the bank.
Yeah, Titan Towers.
People were like, he got killed, you know. And honestly, like, I watched a couple reaction videos, and watching them, people were like, that's murder. You know, he's about to commit a murder. And in my mind, I'm like, that's genius. You know, you take Cody Rhodes away, but, you know, they didn't go down that road. They just kept, you know, and then the blood, you know, and it was everywhere in The Rock, like, nasty, but smearing it over himself on The Rock, you know, on that, and just kept throwing them. And
so whatever he told him in the ring earlier, which we still don't know what it was, I think is inconsequential somewhat at this point. Probably told him he's going to have him bloodied and hanging by a bus later.
You know? And, you know, they kept asking, you know, the interviewers, and Cody said The Rock can't keep that promise.
Yeah.
Now I'm even more intrigued. You know, I know he just got beat, but it's like, how's Cody going to come back from that? You know, it's, they've really built The Rock now. And The Rock's always had like that, you know, every time he's come back, because it's been what, like 20 years almost since he's been like an actual full-time,
full-time. He pops back up,
but man, it just feels like he's, you know, he's full-on heel again. All of our predictions about a heel, you know, a turn on Roman Reigns, I think, man, if they do that, it's, you know, like, I don't know what they're going to do now, because The Rock has gone full heel. Just, yeah, I love it.
Well, that's what's interesting, is that, you know, there's been this talk within leading into the final four match, basically, as I think of it as a basketball fan. But the two part of WrestleMania where you have the tag team leading up to a main event for night one, mm-hmm. leading up to the main event, having, you know, an outcome factor into the main event of night two. And so that's what was so intriguing about all this, is everybody's getting thrown in. I thought at one time, like the Rollins and McIntyre stuff, I don't know how interested I'd be. Like when he won the spot at WrestleMania, I was like, you know, okay.
Yeah.
But McIntyre's just done fantastic with it. I think Rollins did fantastic with it. We didn't really mention this yet, the promo with CM Punk, which was crazy of its own. And it was fun because at the beginning of this segment, like, the crowd could play along and have fun with this too.
Yeah.
When The Rock showed up, they, like, wrestling fans have had just kind of the same chance for a while. That this is awesome got going. You know, they were pretty pro Rocky to begin the segment. By the end, they were booing for The Rock. And so it was a lot of fun. But my point is that at some point when the guy, you could tell the star couldn't be any brighter from the WWE universe on The Rock and Cody Rhodes, that they made the right choice. They're like, this is all turning out well. And then they start chanting CM Punk just because the wrestling universe, and it's in Chicago. And that's one of their chants. That's one of the chants they've had since CM Punk left and made his return so great this year. And it's crazy to think that, you know, an injury away from CM Punk, what would his role be in all this? I mean, what were the plans there? It's just been a crazy ride in wrestling. And if you can't tell, we're pretty interested in how they're going to put it all together.
Yeah. And, you know, part of the CM Punk segment was they were kind of teasing how they're going to involve him in that world heavyweight. And man, it just, like you said, I feel like it would have been a triple threat, you know, if he's not hurt. But one of the things that, as excited as I am for everything, we still got to remember the main event of all WrestleMania is supposed to be Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns, which has taken a back seat to everything. Literally everything. Like, Roman Reigns was on SmackDown on Friday. I thought that was probably one of the worst segments they've had, you know, that's just involving all that. It wasn't a lot. So for everything we're getting excited for night one, you know, the tag team, all that of, you know, what the outcome is, it's just like, you forget that Roman Reigns is supposed to be like the main part of this. And it feels like The Rock has really taken that over. Yeah. So that's interesting too, you know, because, you know, their family, they've embraced this, but Roman Reigns has always been talking. He's the head, you know, he's the chief. It's him. And The Rock's going around. He's the final boss, kind of doing everything and all that stuff. I'm intrigued, man. I'm ready to see what we got. 3 weeks? 3 weeks?
It's 2 weeks.
Pretty much. Till WrestleMania. And we're going to see where all this pays off for. So I'm excited.
Well, and two, I think the recent movement has, like you said, kind of turned down the speculation that The Rock would turn on Roman, which obviously was kind of the idea for WrestleMania in general. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this is part two of a trilogy. I think next year you could have Cody and Roman. If you have Roman win this year, you have enough pieces in play that they, you know, with the Usos, I mean, there's just bring Sammy back into it. WWE won't do it, but it's an easy enough play. At any time they want to spice this up a little bit more, is drag Sammy from losing right before WrestleMania and needing to be the motivational play along pal that nobody wants to win. I mean, it's hard, you know, while they're doing so good in some spots, that one I feel like they've just, if I'm Sami Zayn, I would just sit back and say, how am I, of all people, left out of the money being made this year?
Yeah, it's just crazy because, like you said, last year he was hot. He was so on fire. Like, everybody wanted him to be the one that dethroned Roman Reigns. You know, the Bloodline, he was hilarious. He was great. He was the strong point of the Bloodline.
He had the natural story. Like, WWE didn't force it. They just kind of were tinkering, and then it became its own thing.
Yep. And he had the crowd overall in Montreal, you know. Like, it was just there, and then they put him back with Kevin Owens and they finally went. And now, you know, we talk about it. He's the guy facing Gunther and nobody wants him there. And he lost. Like, it just, it doesn't make sense. And like you said, they can bring him back, and I think it'd be a little bit different because, you know, he's kind of on, you know, I don't know, he's on Cody's side. It's just everything's so messy, though. You know, it still is so messy because it's like, because then you got the tease, you know, we haven't even got into, you know, everybody keeps saying Seth Rollins, you know, is going to betray Cody. They keep asking Cody. Drew McIntyre is going to be involved in that night one, you know, with all everything that's going on. It's going to be like the whole roster, you know, like
Damian Priest always has a briefcase if the Judgment Day wants to get involved.
Dude, you forget about that, you know, because they don't mention it that anymore. Yeah, and it's like,
which is good.
Yeah.
Because that usually means they're setting you up.
And, you know, it's like anything can happen. And that's the beautiful thing right now. I think, you know, for those that don't know, Triple H is in charge. You know, he's the one kind of creatively making a lot of these decisions. He's hitting the mark. I know we were doubting him a couple weeks ago, but man, the storytelling, everybody's ability, just, and even like CM Punk and Drew McIntyre, I feel like a lot of that promo was unscripted. Just, hey, go out there and just insult each other. Cause you could tell by their faces, they were taken aback by what some of them said and, you know, by what one of them said, and they just kept going back and forth. And I was just like, I'm here for this, you know, just let two guys just go at it.
Well, it was intriguing too, because I was wondering how they're going to do it. CM Punk and Rollins have like this almost the outside of the locker room play, you know, WWE kayfabe basically, is that they don't necessarily seem to, they're at least had a battle of words while they worked for separate companies.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be a natural dislike between the two. And so they were going to have to find a way, and he's kind of He's your good guy.
Yeah.
And you have him being the bad guy to CM Punk in Chicago and the crowd still singing his song. Seth Rollins in this character is so unique in a way that I don't even know how to describe because I still don't get it, right? Mm-hmm. Like I get the fashion thing, but I just think there's such cooler versions of Seth Rollins that we've seen before. But this is the one that he likes, and it's wildly over. It's working. Like, adding him into the mix is working. And that's the special part of wrestling too, is like, I've heard just about everybody question Seth Rollins' character now because they just, you don't quite get it.
Yeah.
But now crowds are singing aren't outright booing him.
Yeah.
Going up against CM Punk in the ring. In the WWE, I don't even know what they felt the reaction was going to be as they sent those guys in the ring. So sometimes it's just fun to watch the WWE play with factors that are outside of their control.
And I loved it because I thought Drew and CM Punk were just doing such an amazing job. And you add Seth, he almost didn't even feel necessary in that part. You know, he came in, he did great too. You know, they
he
delivered.
Didn't curse McIntyre before the end, and which is why he
super
got his
kicked
comeuppance
all
later.
That stuff. It was great, but man, CM Punk is just gold. I really hope, you know, because that one thing was, oh yeah, should he be the referee? And they're like, I'm sorry, that's his counting hand. And CM Punk goes down and does it with his left hand, like 1, 2, 3. I can do this, you know, with the left hand. And oh man, dude, that was gold. Like this was one of the Raws where it's like I said, other than the Candice LeRae match, which I'm going to keep bringing up because I don't get where they're going with all that.
It gives her something to do, but it's crazy. It's in a busy WrestleMania season.
Because, you know, Ricochet and the Judgment Day have their thing. Sami Zayn has his story. The Bloodline, Cody Rhodes, they have so much. The tag championships.
If it makes you feel any better, they did a quick match. They didn't try to draw it out too much.
But what I'm saying is, like you know, it's like it was such a good, like I would have given it, like I would rate it like a 9 out of 10 Raw. I thought it was great. R-Truth on the commentary was hilarious when the Judgment Day went to attack him. He's like, cut to commercial. You know, it's like it's like it was hilarious.
Good
character, and it's like everything was so great. Man, that, like
that's
I said,
the one.
I just can't, I can't get over the fact that it was just such a great Raw. You know, it was fun. It was, I was engaged. I was ready. I rewatched it again today. You know, I normally do, but
you were
I was into
Andrade
it. I loved
Giovanni
it.
Vinci match.
Okay. I forgot about that one. That one was there too. I forgot that one happened, but you know what? That was a good match. Like it was a good solid match, and they're going to go somewhere with Andrade. Cause he was one of those Easter heads in the back talking with Dom. So, you know, he can be involved with the Judgment Day. So,
which is weird too. And it's fascinating is that, you know, obviously the Judgment Day going through their own characters. I mean, obviously Rhea Ripley wildly over now too. So some of them are good, some of them are bad, but Andrade, they're trying to bring in as a good guy. And I don't know if it's working. So it's almost like they've got their own, like, all right, well, he would be pretty darn cool. And if we put him in Judgment Day, even if he's a bad guy, like, and they're not wrong. So I feel like they're at least got something to play there if they need to.
Yeah. And I'm just going to say this. Somebody made a joke. They called him Andrade Flair, you know, cause he's married to Charlotte Flair. Yep. And I think he did one of her moves. in that match. I'd have to look into it, but I think it'd be great because he is kind of right now border. He's always been like a heel, I feel, you know, when he was here last time in that. But I feel like the Judgment Day, man, we talked about it. You know, you don't want to get too big, but, you know, you bring more members, break it up, you know, then you have two factions of it. Yeah. You know, one goes to SmackDown, you know, half of them go to SmackDown, half of them go to Raw. I mean, you know, it's gold. You know, they're just doing great things with the Judgment Day. And even JD McDonald, you know, they have a story for him.
Can put on a good match.
I mean, he's losing, but, you know, he's great in the ring. You watched it. I mean, and Dom is their jobber. And he's one of the most, you know, he's got that nuclear heat on him. And it's just funny. Everything they do is great right now with Judgment Day, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I love it too. I love Judgment Day. I mean, Bloodline's crazy interesting. The faction, I always liked faction wrestling too. And AEW knows that a lot of like fans love faction wrestling. They almost overdo it a little bit too much. And WWE's kind of, you know, kind of done a little bit of that in the last couple of years too. So we did get a hello from Sean. Sean, thanks for saying hello on Facebook. If anybody wants to text in or type in or chime in their thoughts here. Once again, this is Nuclear Heat, WWE Week in Review show here on 93.7 The Ticket. 402-464-5685 if you want to text in. We'll go ahead and take a quick break, then we'll come back. We kind of broke down the bigger stories there, but we can get into the nitty-gritty details, of SmackDown and Raw. Will do SmackDown from Milwaukee coming up next year on 93.7 The Ticket. Back on Nuclear Heat on 93.7 The Ticket. I'm Jake Bakov, and this is our WWE Week in Review show. And I'm joined by Nuclear Heat contributor Augie Pena. We ran through the first, just kind of the newsworthy stuff going on after last night's Raw. Now we'll quickly run through SmackDown and Raw, get to the little bit of the nitty-gritty. The other matches that were kind of going on around our main event stars that we'll see at WrestleMania. So let's jump right into it because they jumped right into it. Rey Mysterio against Santos Escobar. Again, this is SmackDown from Milwaukee last Friday. LWO and Legado del Fantasma both banned from ringside. So this is obviously a payoff to a long-term story building of these guys hating each other. Santos obviously turned on Rey at one time as he sees it and was in the LWO. In any case, this was kind of interesting in that Mysterio was returning and had a lot of ring rust. Yeah. I don't know if that was storytelling or not, because it almost over happened. So it sounds like a concern. Rey is someone that you have to respect because he can still go really well at his age. And he's been doing it since we were kids, like you said. So that was a little even hard for me to watch as a Rey Mysterio fan. And I couldn't tell if it was part of the story or not.
Yeah, and I don't know, because he's what, 50, almost 50? He's getting, and, you know, for doing what he does, I mean, at the age of almost 50, like, that is incredible, like you said. But, yeah, he hasn't really wrestled in a match in over, what, 2-3 months? But you'd think somebody that's done it their whole life, you know, they just have bad days. But after watching it, I kind of do feel like they were maybe trying to oversell it, you know. It was maybe a little bit of a work in there to see that. But, yeah, it was great to see him back in there, and then that ending, man. Mm-hmm. Who came up and interfered? That was a big surprise to me. I wonder where they're going with that.
That's right. It was Dom Mysterio showing up with the distraction, helping Santos Escobar getting the win. But more importantly, Dom Mysterio now back in the mix with Rey. Can they just hotshot this to WrestleMania? Would you like it? I mean, it's almost like it's just sitting there asking to be done. But this would be pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it the Judgment Day faction kind of getting involved with, you know, the, you know, Liga del Fantasma and LWO, like kind of having that. I could see it. I could see Dom costing whatever Rey's doing at WrestleMania, you know, kind of doing that.
Rey's got to have something to do, though.
Yeah, two weeks is kind of hard, and they have Dom doing nothing, you know. So, I mean, you could do it, and I just don't. It's always great. You know, they did try it, you know, or they did it, you know, and they kind of went from there. Man, 2 weeks. So that's really hard to build something, but they have the hate there, you know, you know, between Dom and his father. So they could do something.
Well, it's just interesting. Cause this LWO versus Legado del Fantasma thing has been months, a lot of story. I mean, maybe this was the plan to have Rey. You should use Rey while you have him. Like we said, now 49 years old. So try to have a plan for Rey. Maybe that was the plan. And then they decide at this minute, you know, what's better than that is Dominic in a mask. And they're right. So, I mean, I'm a big Mysterio family fan, but I would not have a problem with that being a WrestleMania match. I've been asking all year for Dom to be involved, and they haven't quite pushed him, but that's where we're at there. Then we had Grayson Waller against and Austin Theory against Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. Theory and Waller ultimately defeat the OC and move on in the tournament. Any big things to talk about out of there? I mean, you almost felt like the OC was just there to take the pin, basically.
Yeah. The only thing I will say is I feel bad for Carl Anderson because I feel like he has the ability, he has the moves, and Luke Gallows is just too slow and kind of brings him down. But, you know, they've been together forever. But yeah, no, I mean, nothing really off of that. I mean, you knew that Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, you got to have them in this WrestleMania match. You know, they're going to be the comedy kind of guys that I could see, you know, taking some big spots there, and they're young. You know, right move here. But yeah, you got to feel for the OC, man. They got released, brought back, released, brought back.
And
with AJ Styles, it's all back. And then, you know, they're essentially jobbers, you know, at this point.
And so, I can speak like almost from an outsider's point of view, because I did go away from wrestling for a while. So when they brought them back, the first time I saw them, I was impressed. And I was like, okay, these guys could be a real problem. And then once they decided, I don't know what day it was, some random Monday or Friday, once they decided to turn on them, they have not brought them back up. That has been a team that just takes pins, and it's weird. But I mean, I don't know. You would think merchandise sells. Maybe that's all AJ. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's kind of interesting. They don't get behind them. And Gallows has been around WWE for years doing different parts. So it's just, it's very interesting. And Waller and Theory though, I think it's funny because they're kind of like pretty deadly, except for not the joke. You know what I mean? Like young, handsome guys that everybody wants to hate because they're talking too much trash. And Pretty Deadly is like a joke of that. So it's kind of interesting. And I think they've already ran into each other before. Yeah. So I'm not necessarily looking for a showdown, but I just kind of thought about that there. Then we have Naomi and Io Sky, the champion. Before she came to the ring, Naomi had conversations backstage with both Bayley and Bianca Belair. Of course, Bianca not necessarily getting along with Bayley. Io Sky was late for her entrance then to this match because she was beating up Bayley. So there you have that. Nice little shots before WrestleMania from Damage Control. Then Damage Control ends up in providing a distraction so Sky can hit the over the moonsault for the pin. Naomi tried to fight. The rest of the stable jumps in, starts fighting her. Belair tried to come out for the save, but Damage Control stands tall. I really like this because I think Damage Control, like Io Sky especially alone, and they've known this the whole time, isn't going to look very threatening if it's just her because she doesn't weigh very much, to be quite honest. She's not very big. And so to have this, the Damage Control feeling at least booked like almost stronger than it ever was with the original three. Like they just feel like they're more of a problem now.
Yeah, and also we last week said when was the last time Io was in the ring? She killed it in the ring.
Oh, like she is good amazing.
Like those, the what's her move? The over the moonsault.
Yeah.
She does phenomenal. The only
I love how she steps on her opponent just to add a little salt into the wound. It's awesome.
The only thing, and we kind of talk about this sometimes, is the believability. Like, do I believe she could one-on-one sneak up on Bayley and attack her kind of like she did before her match? Not really. But you know, she is a champion, so she has that plot armor.
Yeah.
But the rest of this segment I thought was great. The only thing is I don't like how they're using Belair because I want her to go against Jade Cargill or something like that at WrestleMania. And it doesn't seem like they're going down that road. It seems like she's going to be slid into this, you know, along with Naomi, who we've also talked, you know, we didn't know what's going to happen. But yeah, you know, they're building this up. I still believe Bayley's going to take it, but man, you know, they're making Damage Control look like they're not going to lose. You know, they're it's looking like Io can, I mean, in the ring, she can hold her own. Like we said, you know, she can fly, you know, over the moon, do all that stuff. So, you know, I was sold on it. I thought it was a great segment for them on there. And man, I just, that over the moonsault, like I know I mentioned it before, but that thing was beautiful watching that happen. So.
Yeah. And it's interesting with Bianca, something you mentioned there too. I don't know what they have for her at WrestleMania. I know that they've started, I was trying to look it up. I don't know if it's like 6 wins or something, but they're like 3-0 at WrestleMania, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So they've already kind of started to talk about this WrestleMania streak, which it's always a good idea. I mean, for Undertaker, it was so unbelievable when he lost. I don't know if you can recapture that pre Undertaker loss streak at WrestleMania, but you can get something going in the women's division. I don't know if they have a match for her. And who would she beat?
Because, I mean, well, because, We got 2 weeks till WrestleMania. So yeah. Jade Cargill hasn't even, you know, she's not done anything. Like Tiffany Stratton, you can't feed her Naomi. You know, are they going to somehow do, like, they have 2 weeks to figure this out. And Belair is one of the more accomplished, athletically gifted, you know, just talent they have. And they literally have her right now being a sidekick. But like you said, they're promoting that and they just have nothing for her. So I honestly, right now, at the top of my mind, I don't know. I don't know the SmackDown roster, you know, who's on the sidelines. Could they, Michonne, you know, unfortunately, could they just, you know, throw her in there? Something like that.
You mentioned too, like, and this is in Raw later, but we were talking about it in the break, like Liv Morgan and Nia Jax were just kind of these side characters to these stories. And then we don't see them this week. And you do kind of, now they're 2 weeks away from WrestleMania, you do kind of think, oh, they've gotten some TV time, but they're not part of the marquee.
Do they surprise us with like a women's battle royale that's going to take place, you know, before it on the pre-show, and they count that?
I don't think it won't be named after Ronda Rousey.
Mae Young. You know, they have the Mae Young classic in that. So I mean, they could do like the Mae Young battle royale or something like that. Have the hand, you know, that she gave birth to be the trophy. Oh man, scars from the early 2000s they gave us for those. But I have no idea. You know, this is Raw was so good. I feel like SmackDown was good too, but there's just so many more holes in the SmackDown storylines because you feel like there's so many people that just don't have directions and they're getting the TV time and you know, you're looking at it, you're like, okay, but in 2 weeks, what are they doing on the grandest show of them all? You know, it makes no sense to me.
Well, I hope what happens is that it has a very competitive Andre the Giant Battle Royale because I think I'm the biggest Andre the Giant Battle Royale fan simply because of liking Andre the Giant and Giants in general and the Giant idea in the wrestling industry. That has not elevated in status over the years. So I think I'm the only one that's too excited about it.
It went from the pre-show of WrestleMania to the Friday before WrestleMania. Yeah. That's kind of where, you know what? I'm just going to throw my hat in there. Why don't they just make, what would you call it? A non-gender battle royale. You know, just have everybody that doesn't have a match, you know, that way Nia Jax can go against, you know, the likes of, you know, whoever doesn't have Bronson Reed, you know, something like that. You know, we could have, you know, she likes to put herself in Royal Rumbles anyways. Yeah. So, you know, just go for it. Everybody just go. Everybody would watch that. I guarantee you 100%.
You're selling tickets there. I'm not questioning that.
I mean, WWE Creative, I'm available. You know, if any of you listen, we're here. We're ready.
Oh, we better quickly get back on topic here. So Kevin Owens, and this is back on topic. Kevin Owens punches both members of Pretty Deadly out at the same time. That in the backstage segment. But that's an interesting segment because wrestling also wants you to put up your blinders sometimes, and KO and RKO are obviously headed toward a buddy breakup, and they're getting together as buddies just weeks before facing each other. Doesn't make any sense, but we at least have RKO and KO, the breakup of the long tag team that we always just loved since they started it this week. And I guess they do have the RKO into the, you know, they've got some good stuff, the powerbomb. They've done some good stuff. But they haven't really been a tag team. No. So it's kind of interesting. Sometimes a wrestling fan, you have to go, what? That makes no sense. Is he stupid? And then you realize you're the stupid one yelling at the TV.
I mean, it's the truth. You know, there's a lot of times it's like, I shouldn't let that bug me. That ruined my night. You know, because Randy Orton and KO, hey, you know, did you see that tag team that was just made? They broke up. It just doesn't make sense. You know, I agree with you.
I see the hole in your story. So you mean otherwise, other than all of the holes in the story of wrestling?
Yeah. You know, every week we're like, this doesn't make sense. And then the next week we come back, we're like, oh, yeah, that paid off. That was great. Oh, man, that's the fun part about wrestling, though. But no, I agree with you. I was a little confused as well. You know, I want them all to be heels. You know, I said this. I want KO Randy to just turn heel because I think that's when they do their best work, and we'll see. I mean, you know, they turn on each other the Friday before SmackDown, something big happens, they all hate each other.
Yeah.
Hey,
you just wrote it. You don't have to watch SmackDown now next week.
All right. I have a pass there. But I think that would be money. You know, all three just playing dirty. You know, we talked about it. They're kind of going with that heel versus heel, babyface for babyface again. They're kind of bringing that back a little bit. Why not? Three great heels just going against each other.
Well, I think Logan should win that one. So it's kind of interesting that they're distracting you on the side with them. But RKO, he's Randy Orton's basically like Triple H, where he can win anytime, even when he shouldn't. And you're still like, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
So my only thing is, would the U.S. champ count as a world championship?
No,
to Randy. No, that's a secondary.
Yeah, that's a secondary title.
It's always confusing to me. You know, yeah. they're like, this is a good title. It's like, nah, that's, you know, not you. So
the big titles, that one they made up, and you know, so for some reason that one's already elevated long reigning titles.
But. Okay, they need to make another belt then. You know, that's just for, you know, Randy Orton to kind of surpass everybody there on that, because he's at 14.
Yeah,
14.
Yep.
Yeah, two
needs two more to tie. Two.
I mean, he's available. He's
Triple H is at 15, but he might not get one more.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Never mind then. Scratch.
There's a certain ego that's writing the whole story that might disagree. But yeah. I love Triple H, so I don't care if he doesn't give Randy another one. But I'm sure he will.
Agreed.
As long as Randy can stay healthy, because man, is that a good character. In any case, we move on. Street Profits and Authors of Pain. This was at SmackDown. We figured out. We were kind of confused last week. Their tag team wrestlers face each other for the right to face each other.
Yeah.
And instead of on Raw, they were just giving away seats at WrestleMania for the six pack challenge or six team tag team challenge. They end up having the Street Profits pretty much bury the Authors of Pain. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a very quick match. And Authors of Pain came out with the Final Testament. The whole group was out there. And this was just, I mean, for something that already wasn't getting over that. I mean, could have potential.
Yeah.
This was very strange and not good for AOP, just to be straightforward.
Dude, and AOP look like the total package. You know, they're like, what, 6'6"? Like,
I don't think they're Mike guys, but I think that there's still money left on the table from what they've done with them.
Well, isn't that why they're with Karrion Kross and Scar? Like, they're in that faction to give them
somebody, be the muscle that they look like.
But, you know, Triple H, creative, all that stuff. They're like, nah, you know, and that's such a shame, because like we've talked about the Street Profit as well. They have money on their side too. Like them, Bobby Lashley, like you would think that'd be great. Nothing's paying off from this. I mean, honestly, this was one of the weaker matches of the night, you know, just in terms of just storytelling and everything there. Yeah. But like you said, it's a preliminary round to get into, you know, the final, to get to WrestleMania. It's confusing. It's just making SmackDown
all in something that Judgment Day should just win anyway. Yeah, exactly. I mean, unless R-Truth does.
My boy R-Truth he's going to split the belts. I'm telling you right now. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's a shame to see what they're doing here. But, you know, the segment filled. Like we say every week, we're going to say it. TV time is better than no TV time. That's right. So
yeah, works out for him. All right. And then we had the Roman Reigns stare down with Cody, which led to Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa eventually showing up in the crowd. Also Uso or Jey Uso and Seth Rollins. So well, each guy said they're going to show up alone. Neither guy did. And there's a stare down to end SmackDown. It didn't really move the story forward. And we don't have any more time for SmackDown, but I think that's fair, because we opened with talking about Raw so much on the show, because that ending was done and actually paid off a little bit. Yep. This one was just kind of like, all right, let's stall. Let's have something that they're kind of trying to figure out. And then do we want to cheer for guys to not be men of their word and bring back up, or I don't really know what that proved, but in any case, we'll talk about it. And WWE Raw coming up next year on Nuclear Heat on 93.7 The Ticket.
Back to Nuclear Heat with your host Jake Bakoven on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Thanks for joining us. This is our WWE Weekend Review Show, Nuclear Heat. We're on our final segment. We're reviewing Raw. We did most of this of the Raw episode in the first segment. If you want to go back to the Ticket FM and download that if you missed out. But we'll still have a few stories to get to here from Monday Night Raw last night in Chicago. Once again, I'm Jake Bachman with Nuclear Heat contributor Augie Pena. Let's start with this one. Ricochet and JD McDonagh. Ricochet made it 3-0 against the Judgment Day in the recent weeks, defeating McDonagh in an opening contest that was well shot, well choreographed, and just both those guys can obviously go with their athleticism. So it was a good one. Kind of odd though, because to me, I don't know that this is good for Ricochet, I suppose, but I just think Dom and JD McDonagh definitely need a win, which is part of the story they might be telling leading up to a surprising win, but. It's just strange. I feel like I want to see one of the Judgment Day beat Ricochet now.
Yeah, and you know, especially Dom. You know, like we've said, these are the two jobbers. And you know, the backstage segment that they had beforehand. You know, where Rhea Ripley's like, just go finally win a match. Like that says something. Like They're going to probably give them one more week to beat Ricochet. And then I think JD's probably, I think that's where they're leading. He's gone. But yeah, man, he looks great in the ring. Like, this was a great match. These were two guys that did really good. And, you know, unfortunately, they're going with, I think Ricochet's just going to be over. And then who knows what they go from. I don't know.
It's at least interesting. I mean, and it's good matches. So yeah,
it is.
It's just not going the way I want it. So that's why I'm frustrated. But then we go into the DIY versus New Day match. This continues the Judgment Day story of all things, because the Miz and R-Truth are sitting from the commentary table. This breaks out into all-out war when Judgment Day comes over to fight DIY and the New Day, break up their match. The Miz and R-Truth eventually do get involved. The Miz first, R-Truth reluctantly as part of the jokes, but ultimately you had Judgment Day standing tall.
I loved it. R-Truth, gold in this. To me, great. It was a good match because New Day and DIY, good. You know, they're good in there. It was good. The commentary, I thought, kind of stole the show. R-Truth, you know, talking there, and then the Judgment Day coming out. Like I said, when the Judgment Day went to attack him, he's like, go to commercial. And as if that would stop the beatdown.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that gets him involved in the match, and it's great gold. And I think they're doing a good job of building that story, because I'm one of the guys, I'm really behind R-Truth and The Miz now winning that tag team championship ladder match that they're going to have at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to book it, just because the Judgment Day, it's not a streak type of title. They could lose it and win it the next week and it'd be just fine.
Yep.
Becky Lynch interrupts Rhea Ripley, who brought out Dom to start talking trash and felt disrespected that Becky wasn't paying enough attention to her. This erupted into a brawl. Rhea Ripley absolutely hits Dom, and they showed the replay of it over and over again. So even WWE liked the action of the punch. Rhea Ripley did say something about Becky Lynch's daughter, and said that she would call Rhea Ripley mommy. So it did get kind of spicy from there. So I thought this was a good matchup. Needing a group of people to pull mm-hmm. two people out from a brawl is always fun.
Yeah, and it was good. I thought both women, you know, delivered. I thought Becky was a little weak until Rhea kind of, you know, when she mentioned the daughter, that kind of brought the fire back out, and that punch to Dom. I mean, that's gold. Dominic Mysterio, he's great at that. So yeah, I thought it was a good segment to move, you know, for their match there.
Yeah, and then the final one, Sami Zayn losing to Bronson Reed, a bloodied Bronson Reed, and a good match from both of them. But they keep telling the story of Sami Zayn maybe not having what it takes to beat Gunther. Gunther came out and made his presence known, which was enough for the distraction for big Bronson Reed to get the win over Sami Zayn. And then backstage, Chad Gable tells Sami Zayn that he needs a new approach ahead of his match with Gunther in Philadelphia. Maybe Master Gable going to help Sami Zayn get this victory, and they can both get what they want.
Yeah, no, I'm not for this. I'm one of those guys. I don't want to see Sami Zayn in this match, and I wanted to see Chad Gable. Everybody's saying it's going to be like a Rocky IV, you know, training, you know, to go up against Gunther. I mean, if they go down that storyline, fine. I think it'll be entertaining. It'll be funny, but I still think, you know, fans are booing it. You know, fans are booing Sami Zayn right now. So I'm not too sure about this one.
Yeah, you just feel like with the rivalry that Gable and Gunther had, another match at WrestleMania would have been a fun lead up, but they ultimately went with Sami again because they didn't really take care of his character after last year's WrestleMania. And so here they are. But it's still a lot of fun, and I'm still intrigued to see what happens. Mm-hmm. That'll wrap it up for Nuclear Heat this week. Once again, thanks for listening to our WWE Week in Review show. We will step away and let the next person jump inside. It's Chancellor Brewington coming up next year on 93.7 The Ticket.
Hi, my name is Molly Party. I'm a realtor with MP.